I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network. Hotel Mars, Episode N, with my colleague and co-host and friend David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show. And we're joined by our colleague, longstanding, Professor Chaim Ben-Arroya of Rutgers University, who's the author of a series of books about exactly what the Russians and the Chinese, in conjunction, propose, which is a settlement, a colony, a scientific station, on the surface of the moon or under the surface of the moon, also in lunar orbit. Building Habitats on the Moon, highly recommended book, Kindle's available. Turning Dust into Gold, with lots of illustrations of what a moon colony or a series of moon modules would look like, and lunar settlements. Professor, I want to look 100 years into the future. Will the moon look like Las Vegas, or will it look like an abandoned Western town? You said before that there's an advantage to launching from the moon, but you also listed a series of problems that could create what you'd have to say a short life on the surface of the moon. Do we, at this point, have the engineering to build a grid work of livable modules on the moon to and from to sustain human life?
Yes, John, definitely we have the technology. We have to still solve some problems like we talked about before. But those problems, the engineering problems, are solvable. We know how to build these space station-like modules. We know how to fly them to the moon. We know how to land things on the moon. Some new technology has to be developed for covering them in regolith initially, for shielding. But the engineering aspects of it are well mapped out. I mean, it may take 10, 20, 30 years, and I don't minimize them, but they are doable. And some of the timelines that people have put forward of having a near-permanent or semi-permanent habitation of modules on the lunar surface in 20 years is not really infeasible. It is feasible.
David?
Do you see these communities as being highly robotic and AI or highly human-oriented?
I would say for long-term possibilities, they have to be robotic. Humans in astronaut suits are not going to be able to expand the facilities that we have there. The danger of being outside on the surface is enormous. If not the radiation, then micrometeorites, eventually one will pierce your spacesuit. You have solar flares. You have all kinds of things that can really cut somebody down without much warning. So robotics is necessary. The robotics is not as advanced as we would like it to be. As we mentioned, the regolith issue, the radiation issue, both regolith and radiation are real stressors of any robotic system. So there are engineering things to learn and do, and some of those are best done on the lunar surface. In parallel with that, I would say just how humans survive in that environment from the low gravity point of view, as well as the radiation point of view, it needs us to be there. We need people to be there. They become the guinea pigs to some extent. Being an astronaut is a high-risk venture, and all astronauts know that. But in order to really make a headway to the moon, to Mars, we really have to be on the moon as a starting point.
Lunar orbit, is there an advantage to it, Chaim?
There is some advantage, like the Gateway, for example. I would say the main advantage of an orbiting habitat is that you can put it into a rotation about its major axis. And if it's large enough, then you can have people living on the inside against the wall, if I can describe it for you. So it's rotating, and people basically are standing on the walls of the outside. And they're basically living in that situation in an Earth-like gravity. And that kind of structure could be used to actually bring people to Mars. The Gateway, I have mixed feelings about the Gateway. I think the Gateway is certainly an important aspect of getting us to be a space-faring people. I would say it might be premature to have it now. So I'm thinking if we're talking 10 to 20 years before we're really permanently on the moon and getting ready to go to Mars, then that Gateway that we're going to put up in a few years, that'll be 20-year-old technology. It's been sitting in space. It's been irradiated. It's mostly empty of people. It's been pockmarked with micrometeorites. And so when we want to turn it on again, it may or may not turn on. Certainly 20 years from now, we'll have many more advanced technologies for a gateway-like structure once we're ready to really use it to go from the moon to Mars.
David?
Chaim, are your counterparts in China and Russia with lunar engineering and habitats and AI and robotic, are they on par with us? And if they're developing at the moon or on the surface of the moon, are we going to be compatible with each other's hardware and lunar villages, or is everything going to be vastly different and you can't communicate between one or the other?
We have less than a minute, Professor.
Yeah, I would say that unless we start defining those things now, setting up standards and how to mesh our equipment to their equipment, we won't be able to do that. I think it's important for the safety of all the people on the moon, whether American, Chinese, or Russian. We need to start that now. If you don't start it now, then these are going to be isolated islands. They can talk to each other, but they won't be able to really do much else of any significance.
Professor Chaim Ben-Aroy of Rutgers University. The books are Building Habitats on the Moon, Engineering Approaches to Lunar Settlements, also Turning Dust to Gold, Building a Future on the Moon and Mars, together, and finally, Advances in Engineering series, Lunar Settlement. David Livingston, Dr. Space of The Space Show, Chaim Ben-Aroy of Rutgers University. I'm John Batchelor. This is the new John Batchelor Show on CBS Audio Network.